friends. Welcome back to Not Again, the podcast that brings college-level analysis to preschool-level content. I'm one of your hosts, Rebecca.
I'm your other host, Alan.
And today, we are talking positivity. We are going to talk about two shows because there's not a lot to say when we like something, so we have to talk about two things because otherwise we wouldn't fill more than 10 minutes. We're going to talk about Number Blocks, and we're going to talk about Puffin Rock. Both of these are shows that we recommend. I'll say that right off the top. There's no reason to hide that. We are going to save the rating car universes for maybe next time or the time after. I have to create a rubric and decide if we want to do golf rules and if we want to do like specific categories numbered, or if we just want to be like this category, 1 of 10, what do you want to say? Which is something that The Worst Song on Earth does, one of my favorite podcasts. You should listen to it. So instead, we're going to mellow out.
Yeah. This is going to be a nice, calm AMSR. Was it the video?
ASMR.
Sure.
It stands for All Sounds Make Ready. It does not.
It does not?
That was an improv on my part.
I'm going to do an NPR thing. Like, today we're talking about
today on Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Yeah.
The world is terrible.
Very
but we're
calm.
Saying it in a calm voice, like an airline pilot readying you
You're
for
driving
a crash.
To work. Don't fall asleep.
So, folks, we're passing over Puffin Rock, which is apparently a real place.
Apparently a real place.
It's not called Puffin Rock. It's called Puffin Island, and it's off like the southwest-ish corner of Ireland, which is cool. I looked it up on Wikipedia. I don't know geography. I didn't even know
that. Did we even introduce that that's what we're talking about?
Yes,
okay.
We did. You just don't ever listen to me.
I don't.
That's it. That's total projection on my part. I never listen to you. Every time I edit.
You never listen to you.
Yes, that's true. I never listen to anybody. Every time I edit this podcast, and this is the truth. I was going to say the God's honest truth. Can I say God? Sure. Why not? This is the God's honest truth. Every time I edit this podcast, I hear Alan say something that I didn't know he said, even though we record right next to each other. And I think it's, I don't know, I get so in the zone or something, or so focused on the thing I want to say next that I miss something you say. And I laugh every time because you're quite a funny person.
I hope so.
But no, I don't know if you have a preference, Puffin Rock or Number Blocks to start with.
I think we'll start with Puffin Rock.
Start with Puffin Rock.
Yeah.
So for those who don't know, Puffin Rock is a show about puffins. It is an Irish show that first aired on a network that I can't pronounce in Ireland, but it has since made it to Nick Jr. and other networks as well. We found it on Netflix.
Yeah, that sounds right.
I believe it's still streaming on Netflix.
Hopefully, yeah.
And it is adorable. So I'm going to read some information about it from Wikipedia. There's not much of a summary. The summary is that there is an island, a rocky cliff-laden island that has lots of wildlife and its own little ecosystem. And the main character is a puffin child named Una. And Una has a little brother named Baba, who is a white puffball. They have their parents, Mama Puffin and Papa Puffin, because, again, parents never have names. It's not like it's Steve and Josephine. Like, it's just...
Well, yeah, that goes back to Kelvin and Hobbes. Like, they didn't have names.
All the way back to, yeah. So,
or before, I assume.
Cow and Chicken, which was a terrible show, their parents didn't even have upper halves of their bodies. So...
Well, and Charlie Brown, all the adults were just...
A trumpet, I believe. So it's just Mama and Papa. But there are other characters, including Mossy, who is Una's best friend in a brown Eurasian pygmy shrew. Mossy is probably, I love Mossy, and technically Mossy is true to life in that he is constantly thinking about like finding and storing and eating food. And at the same time, it does fall a little bit into that kind of fat shaming.
Yeah, it gets a little samey.
Yeah, stereotype. And I don't like that, but it's still so cute that I can barely, you know. There's May, who is a rabbit who lives in a burrow. That's where rabbits live. There's Silky.
The seal, right?
Wow, you remember that better than I do. I honestly forgot who Silky was.
Oh, well, then no, they have a very cute episode about Silky and Una meeting an octopus.
A gray-colored seal pup. Is Silky the one who found a clam and was like, this is my special clam? And then they saw 1,000 clams and they were like, Silky.
Which one?
Which one is your special clam?
Yes, that's the one.
But then it turned out to be a special clam because it buried itself under the sand. So they were trying so hard to be nice. So they were like, oh, Silky, I'm sure this clam is very special.
No, it really was special.
There's Otto, who's a green owl, who normally appears slightly uncoordinated. and Bernie.
Oh yeah, the hermit crab.
An elderly hermit crab. Yes. He's got a little beard, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's wizened.
Voiced by Jim Craig, as if I know who that is, who enjoys telling tales of his youth to Una and Baba. And then let's see, Flynn is a fox. I'm very fascinated by Flynn because Flynn is a predator, but also a child. So they have kind of like a bully victim relationship.
I kind of like bully recipient.
Bullying. Hello, my name is Rebecca. I'll be your bullying recipient today. And yet, like, sometimes they play together, but, like, grudgingly, you know, it's a strange relationship. Spikey's a baby hedgehog that Baba enjoys playing with. Chloe is a migrating Arctic tern who visits Puffin Rock during the summer. And there's, like, others. I mean, there's two owl siblings. They only mentioned one here, which was Otto. But I swear Otto has a sibling or no?
One of the plots, I think, is that they're trying to get Otto's younger siblings to go to sleep.
Oh, Otto has younger siblings. That's right. And there's also an episode where Baba wants to be an owl, but Puffin suck at owl things. They're like, just turn your head all the way around, Baba. And Baba's like I can't. I'm little and uncoordinated.
Also not an owl.
Also not an owl. I'm a puffin. But then, see, I'm going to call this the Beauty and the Beast reading moment. They're like, oh no, I'm just a puffin. I'm not as good as an owl. But then one of the owls falls in the water and owls can't swim. Yeah. So it takes a puffin to save the owl and they learn a lesson.
Turn into your strengths.
I feel like we just learned this lesson.
We did.
Who taught us this lesson that you have to be
Rogi,
happy?
Rogi the bus.
Rogi the bus taught us you have to be happy.
He taught that he was good at being a bus and not very good at being a fire truck, even though fire trucks are awesome. But when it turns out...
No, there was a different thing, though, that we learned. Like, we actually talked about it recently, but I think you're right that it was Tayo. Hold on. Somebody taught us that... Even though you can't be other things. Oh, this is going to kill me.
I'm on the right track.
Well, you are on the right track, but we didn't talk about Rogi being a fire truck. But he tried at one point.
Demonstration, all the kids.
Oh, that was it. That was it.
All the kids loved the fire truck. But when the rain came, you couldn't all pile into the fire truck. There wasn't enough room.
Obviously,
you needed a bus.
My confusion was that it wasn't Rogi. It was Ghani.
Oh.
How could you get them confused? Sorry, I can't even keep a straight face. I'm lying about being incensed, and I can't even. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. That's.
I often confuse colored buses.
Yes. So that was
in our sentient car universe episode. We will talk about this a lot.
Yes. So it's the red bus who did this, not the green bus. But yes. So we learned the same lesson, which is you just gotta turn into your own strengths and realize that you're special and blah 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 blah. So that was a good episode. There are also seagulls on Puffin Rock. They're kind of like the main antagonists. What's interesting about this show is it's ecologically correct, which means that it is actually educational. So
even
if it's a little gross to talk about, our narrator, Chris O'Dowd, who has a lovely voice and is also, I think, a famous actor. I mean, he was in the IT Crowd at the very least.
He's famous enough that we have heard of him, even though we are tragically American.
Ignorant, tragic Americans, yes. He's the narrator, and we'll talk about the narrator's interaction with the show, but he like tells the audience what's going on. And so, for instance, to protect their nests, seagulls will defecate on intruders, and it's gross, but that's the truth, and nature's gross sometimes. So the narrator just informs us that that's what's happening. They throw rocks and they defecate, and it's like, okay, you know, and it's not a poop joke. It's literally what happens in nature.
Yeah.
And so it is educational
in
a very calm and soothing ASMR way.
I'm never going to get that acronym right. I'm going to be like MCWR.
So there was this thing in the school that I used to work at. By the way, just for everyone to know, I got an email yesterday from a student asking how to do an assignment. And the last day of school was Thursday. I got an email on Friday, which is yesterday at time of recording, about how to do an assignment, and the last day of school was Thursday. And I still don't know if I should respond to this email. But at the school I used to work at, there were little common areas where students could just, like, sit and hang out or do work or whatever. And for some reason, they were called FTLAs. And that was stupid. And I didn't know why they weren't just called like study areas. And so every time I said it to my students, I was like, you can go out and work in the PXQG. And they knew exactly what I was talking about. So you do that anytime with ASMR.
Okay, that's good.
Anyway, it is a very calm and soothing show, but it's passively educational. So if we look at our spectrum, it's not on the Peppa Pig side, but I would say it's almost towards the center somewhere.
Yeah, well, this is we've talked about...
Although it still has lessons, like be yourself, so... Just not.
We've talked about this because it's like there are shows that are brightly colored and about just fluff and selling toys, and they'll try and shoehorn in some sort of lesson
right.
to claim education.
Right, education washing, the term you came up with.
This is a thing we came up with.
I believe that this term was introduced by Alan in our Super Wings episodes, yeah. if you would like to listen yeah. to us talk about that.
And I stole it from greenwashing. We're like, it's ecological.
You
and
adapted it, dear.
Yeah. And, but this really talks about animals and really talks about what they're about.
Yeah. And I mean, sure, they don't show the fox, like, attacking a puffin and eating right. it in a bloody bit, but, like...
But it's much closer to a nature documentary
right.
than someone saying, did you know that foxes are a half meter in length?
Yeah.
On to the bus show.
Yeah. Or, like, at the end, if, So here's a good example. So there is an episode where Una, the main character Puffin, goes swimming and she gets caught in some garbage, some litter, right, that had fallen into the ocean, or rather probably had gotten there through, you know, it was through human beings' means that garbage ended up in the ocean. And she got caught up in it, like an old fishing net and, you know, stuff like that. And her parents had to set her free. But after they did that, they didn't go... Like, Una didn't go like, Father, Mother, why did this happen to me? And her parents didn't go, well, I was about to say, well, son, just because I guess that's like the commonest.
that's the thing.
Well, daughter, it's because human beings litter. And like Captain Planet style, like, don't forget, like, turn to the camera and be like, don't forget, kids, littering is bad. Like, they don't do that. They let you see the effects
right.
of litter.
It's showing, not telling,
yeah.
which we talk about a lot on this show.
Absolutely. And so I don't know why I did a British accent since it's supposed to be Irish. But,
well,
because you know,
we're not good at it.
I don't want to offend all our Irish listeners, but... You know, that's the kind of education it is. So it's real. It's not explicit like Bluey is, where it's like, Bluey, here's the lesson I want you to learn today. Again, I love Bluey, and Bluey does a certain purpose, right? You know, educational television with a message for that kids yeah. can understand. But Puffin Rock does it a little more subtly. So I would say it's on the right side of the spectrum near Daniel Tiger, but very close to the center as
okay.
well. Because it does have the occasional lesson, but it's implicit. It's shown, not told. And I think that that's fine.
I think it's honestly more fun and better.
I think
we like that
yeah.
kind of style.
I think there's a use for every type of show on the spectrum.
Well,
right?
yes.
There's a Peppa Pig use, and unfortunately, I guess there's a Daniel Tiger use, even if it's just to sell toys. But I like this central kind of slightly skewed
and,
right.
And Sesame
show.
Street can just say the number of the day is 11.
Yes, exactly. Like
learn about 11 today.
Sesame Street is definitely on the right side of the spectrum with Daniel Tiger, but I like Sesame Street, so.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and then there's an episode where Bernie, the old hermit crab, wants to get a lady friend. I remember that, and he's trying to find her a shell to move into because hermit crabs change shells, and that's how you learn that, right? But the narrator, so Chris O'Dowd, by the way, I rewatched the IT Crowd recently, and I was just so sad, and I learned some things about the creator that made sense, given how horrible that show was.
Yeah, there were some bad apps.
It was so funny in the first few episodes, like Richard Iotti being like,
well,
I'm just
yeah
gonna
this, he's just
well he's just
naturally charismatic,
but
like,
he's like, I'm gonna put this fire over with the other fire, like
yeah.
ah, but then they started making fun of disabled people and trans people, and I was like,
it's like
no,
how did this get past, like, I have an idea,
but it did because the owner the creator was a horrible person. Anyway,
yeah.
Chris O'Dowd is the narrator, and he narrates, and sometimes narrators interact, I feel like, directly with the characters, and sometimes they're just like telling you what's going on, like with Peppa, like Daddy Pig just fell out of an airplane. But in this, it's almost like he's watching the show with you, and even though the characters can't hear him, he's like, no, Una, don't do that. And then there's like one time where Bernie's just like singing to pass the time because his little hut got, like, he was in a little cave and like it got covered by rocks, like he couldn't get out, and so he was like trying to just chill, you know, and the narrator was just like, oh, how lovely, I wonder if he takes requests, and it's like, but he won't because he can't hear you, like, why are you? I just find it so funny. And then he's like, oh no, Una, watch out for that octopus, and it's like, okay, that is adorable. I love the I usually don't yep. like narrators,
yeah, no, and especially in kids shows it gets a little
Well, kids shows aren't
distracting.
Shows aren't for adults.
Yeah.
Let's face it. And so
you've got me there.
So kids don't care about the narrators. But all I'm saying is they don't care that it's distracting to me. Because it's not for me. Yet, Puff and Rock is a show that even without Warren, I would sit down and watch. If I felt like, you know, maybe to have in the background while doing something, but it's just it's a beautiful show.
We haven't talked about the animation at all.
Well, I want to bring that up because I'm very proud of myself.
Okay.
So I love The Secret of Kells. If you have not seen that movie, they have created other movies since then. Song of the Sea was okay. But The Secret of Kells is one of my favorite movies of all time. And I must say, I wish I could say that the art style alone, the art style alone was enough for me to be like, I recognize this. But honestly, it was probably a combination of me loving the art style and also that it's Irish. But I was like, wait a minute, beautiful art style, watercolor style, and Irish, and I recognize this. Is this? And I was right. So one of the three creators of this show was, I don't know if he's a creator or director or whatever, I forgot to look it up, but he worked on The Secret of Kells at all. You know, the other movies that came out as well, Wolfwalkers and Song of the Sea.
Yeah.
And I'm so delighted that there's a show now that like exists with that art style. It is so gorgeous, and I love it.
Yes, it's very, very pretty. You can watch The Secret of Kells with the sound off.
Yes.
And just...
It's like watching a painting.
Yes.
You know,
I don't know where I was going with that. Like, you watch it with the sound off and just enjoy...
Looking at it
as just a visual media. And above that, it's a good movie.
Yes.
It didn't even have to be. I think it was Oscar nominated.
I think it won.
I'm
not sure.
It was definitely, it's definitely gotten some serious accolades.
Yeah.
Probably a Pixar thing won that year. Anyway, it very much could have won.
It was definitely nominated. It was a nominee for Best Animated Feature in 2010. It deserved to win.
It was probably up against Cars 3.
But it won Audience Award for other film festivals and stuff. Like, it's been nominated for a lot of awards, obviously.
If it's not on a streaming service, just...
It was on Netflix.
Find
once,
a way to watch this movie.
I would rent this, you know.
Go to your local Blockbuster.
You were right that it was up against Pixar.
Oh.
I'm not surprised
lost. Who won?
I would still say...
Toy Story?
I would
still... Five?
I would still say that I would go for The Secret of Kells against this one, but...
Oh, yeah.
It lost to Up, which, yeah, of course it
was
going to lose
to did.
Up. Yeah, they didn't stand a chance. So,
yeah, 25 minutes of that movie were fantastic.
Yeah, the first 10 minutes alone. So the animation is great. It's so wonderful.
To our one fan, I'd say...
We might be
it might have it might have it might have won against Up.
Yeah, in my estimation, I think it was a better.
I think I could get behind if it won over Up. I'd be like,
only for being unique.
Yeah,
I can't tell you
it's
how
good.
So the Oscars are meaningless, as any like film buff will tell you. But like, I can't tell you how happy I was when Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse won against The Incredibles 2. If you want to know my thoughts about The Incredibles 2, simply look for the episode Bex 2 the sequel. I provided one time when we couldn't do a regular episode. It's supposed to be patrons only, and it will be from here on out. But yeah, I had some thoughts. Anyway, so it was nominated.
It was really good.
It was a really good movie, and we can stop gushing about it anytime, I suppose. But
well, this is the gush episode.
This is the gush episode. The episode we've seen the most, I would have to say, is the Froggy episode.
Right.
Warren loves frogs.
Well, we have a couple of different frog videos that he likes to watch. He likes to pretend to be a frog.
He likes to. I think he learned how to do it in preschool once. Yeah. And from then on, he was like, I'm a froggy.
Well, just, you know, I want to do some jumping.
Yep.
I'm going to be a frog right now.
There is a YouTube channel called Tier Zoo, T-I-E-R, Zoo.
We can do a whole episode on Tier Zoo if we wanted to. It's really good.
We've been considering doing an episode on the YouTube videos. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, Blippi would be its own, but, like, Tier Zoo and random content, like Masha and the Bear and Pocoyo, because all those things he sees through YouTube. So we'll probably do that episode.
Okay.
But Tier Zoo, the guy provides information about biology by ranking different animals as if they are
Video game characters.
Video game characters, player characters in a video game.
Yeah.
So he's like, this goes into stealth and this goes into, level up and blah, 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 you know.
And my understanding is that the proprietor of Tier Zoo is a biologist. Like, and the conceit is just for fun. I'm going to talk about, different
frog variety.
Herbosaur dinosaurs today, right, yeah. And we're going to put them in a ranking. And they're having fun with it, and there's lots of cool video editing and, like, graphics and stuff like that.
However, it is not kid-friendly. I can't stress this enough. Like, Warren doesn't – he's too young to realize what he's looking at. It's not blood and gore, but it's, like
– occasionally, because sometimes animals just get eaten.
Yeah. The cookie-cutter shark, for instance, is not one that you really want your child seeing. So don't think we're recommending this for your six-year-old. It's just that Warren doesn't really pay attention to
the – And he really only watches the froggy
video. Yeah, exactly. He doesn't really pay attention to the details. He just sees a froggy and goes, froggy! You know, like, it's fine. We're not worrying.
This one, it's got a fun kind of framing, but it is a nature documentary.
Right.
And nature documentaries occasionally have the gazelle getting eaten.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So it's not like super graphic, but it's not like a kid's channel, basically.
Yeah.
Like, there are kids' YouTube channels. This isn't one of them. Anyway, I don't know what you were going to say. I'm sorry.
I think we got there.
Yeah. We're 20 minutes into our record, so maybe we should switch over to number blocks.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
The froggy. Yeah. The episode premise is just like there's a frog in Una's cave, wherever puffins live, and she wants to help the froggy get home, so her parents wake up, and Baba wakes up, and they just take the froggy back to the pond, and the starry sky, I want a screenshot of that beautiful, like, tableau, and while they're walking, Una sings a little song about getting the froggy home, and it is the most heartwarming and innocent thing you'll ever see, and I highly recommend the frog episode, which is, like, season one, episode four-ish.
Something.
I remember, because we've seen it so many times, but, yeah. So, great show. Number Blocks is a show that is not education washing, but it's also on the... I don't know where it would fall, because it's not teaching life lessons. Maybe, maybe if we have, like, a Z-axis
this
somewhere.
Maybe we need to get three- or four-dimensional.
Yeah. It's teaching math explicitly.
This is specifically about math.
Yeah.
So I think the first episode is just about the number one.
So each episode's, like, 3 minutes long or four minutes long.
Yeah, they're very short, but... Very quickly, it gets, I'd say, reasonably complicated.
It does. You get to greater than and less than.
Yeah.
You get to subtraction or addition.
And different arrangements of kind of numbers.
Okay. So hold on 1 second. So the premise is this. Number Blocks follows the adventures of block characters in Numberland, with the number of blocks determining which numeral they stand for, and a tiny black floating number above them to show how many blocks they are made of, which they call a numberling. When one of the blocks hops on top of another, they transform into a different character to make a new number. And I am going to talk about this. So the show helps toddlers and young kids learn numeracy skills, especially how to count, do simple maths. Right. This is British. It's a British show. So they say maths. Integer concepts such as even versus odd and factoring are discussed and explored. References to much more sophisticated ideas are also presented visually, usually without comment, such as the Pythagorean theorem and the Fibonacci sequence. It can be recognized by knowledgeable viewers, so probably not three-year-olds. It depends on your three-year-old, I guess.
Yeah.
So they're British. They do refer to each other as she, which I think is interesting. So again, we're not doing that kind of like patriarchal, male-centric viewpoint.
But they're blocks.
They're blocks. I don't know if they need gender at all, but
They don't reproduce.
I mean, most of them are multiples.
They combine and just dissociate.
Yes. Well, that's it. So we meet this little red cube who discovers that it is the number one. And the first episode, it learns it's very lonely. It wishes that it weren't alone. It says, there's only one of me, right? Very sad. But as the episodes progress, we meet another red cube, who is another one. And then the next episode, they combine and become two. So we have two one blocks who consider themselves to be one blocks, who feel that when they say I, they are referring to one.
Mm-hmm.
And then they combine into a single character who is two, who is a different color, who's a different voice, who's a different appearance, and also refers to herself as I, but that I refers to two, but then two will split back into two ones who have different identities. And all I'm saying is I've never encountered a kids show that makes me feel quite so much existential dread as this show.
It's a little like We Are Borg.
Yes.
Like, we are numbers.
Yes.
And we will combine and dissociate and recombine in any number of ways, and we are independent and unique shortly.
Our identities are infinite. We can be anything, and we are all, and we are individual, but we are also together, and like, it's it's mind-boggling to me, but they do it very well, and obviously yes. kids don't care about this. And you know, it's cute.
The math is good. I mean, yeah. like, as far as teaching math goes, I stand behind it.
And I don't know how well it would. Like, I would need to do an experiment where I put a four-year-old who doesn't know math in front of the TV and then, like, see after a week if they know math. But, you know, they do count.
Warren's pretty good at 16 at this point, yeah. and that's not a fun number to learn.
Well, he does like repeating after. So he said 20 today because
he was
watching
it. Well, yeah, well, he loves 20. He
likes 11 and 18 a lot.
Yes. Listeners don't need to know this, but we've been playing a game for years and years called 10, where I get him to count to 10 and then he gets tickles.
Yes.
And he's been doing that so well for so long that I've been trying to get that to be 20.
Yes. And he's doing it in preschool. And what was the cute story his teacher told me? His teacher told me that he likes the number 11 so much that he will manufacture situations where he can see the number 11. So for instance, if they're walking next to room number 116, he'll go up to the door and cover the 6 with his hand and go 11. So he must really like the number 11.
Yes. It may well be his favorite.
So Number Blocks doesn't have a plot per se. It's literally every episode adds, quite literally, I'm not lying here, to the previous episode. So you get from 1 to 100. And then today I remembered, because Warren happened to be watching it, that there's also 0. And 0 is a floating mouth with the number, for lack of better words, 0, directly above it, where the 0 kind of acts like a cyclopean eye. So the 0 is its number, but it also kind of makes it look like it has a face because it's a mouth and a single eye, because the 0 is a circle. You know, eyes are circles. And I don't know how I feel about this. The fact that we have anthropomorphized nothingness does not help with my existential dread.
There's a little bit of existential dread in this show.
Yeah, so when you watch this show, don't do it under the influence of anything. I've never been under the influence of anything that might be considered a drug, but I would be terrified, I think, if I were.
So, I bet we haven't talked about the dad subreddit. But maybe we did.
We did. In the Bluey episode. Is it actually r/dadit?
Dadit, okay. Yeah. But, like, I can totally imagine somebody going, like, well, my wife and I, we got some
Brownies.
And Number Blocks just blew our mind.
Yeah. It's, how does it happen? Like, so you learn addition, they combine and separate a lot so that you can see what 1 + 1 looks like, what 2 + 3 looks like, right? But there's also this monster that has a wide open and angled mouth like Pac-Man. Imagine Pac-Man's mouth. And the mouth is like kind of a thicker black outline so that it looks like the greater than less than sign. And I thought they thought that the monster wanted to eat them. And so they were scared of the monster, but it turned out that the monster wanted to play with them. And so it didn't want to eat them with its greater than less than mouth. It wanted to like play around with finding out who's less than and who's greater than. So if the 1 was on the left side of the monster, then it turned its mouth to the 3. And then they would say 1 is greater than, I got it wrong, didn't I? I'm going to edit this out so I don't sound stupid.
1 is greater than 0.
They would say 3 is greater than 1, you know, and then they would combine 3 and 1 to 4 and be like, now we are 4. You know?
And then it flips, yeah. Yeah.
And then this monster turns around, for instance. And so it's cute, and yet it doesn't, I think here's what I want to say about this show. It doesn't insult kids' intelligence.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It presumes that kids can understand these concepts, as opposed to saying you're too young to understand greater than less than.
It goes pretty hard, and I appreciate that. So the first episode is like, this 1 block is 1, and then the second episode is like 2 together make 2, but it gets to like 100 and greater than less than. And
I think a little, and I mean, definitely addition and subtraction, addition, but I think a little bit of multiplication.
Like, yeah, really quickly. And well, that's a good thing.
The wiki says odds and evens at the very least. So, you know.
It gets there. And I appreciate that. And right. If you need to spend more time, just rewatch it. Like it goes,
it gets up, yeah.
Yeah, and the long 10 and then the 10 tens make 100. Like, it It's serious about giving you some math.
What we have talked about in the past is that people condescend to kids.
That
they decide kids, quote, can't understand blank. And so they either try to dumb it down or they don't even try to talk about it. But this show says your kid can understand math.
Yeah.
Your preschooler can understand addition. Your preschooler can understand greater than, less than. Your preschooler can understand odd and even. Your preschooler can count to 100. All that stuff. It says, yes, they can. When you set the bar high, even, you know, it's the saying that if you shoot for the moon and miss, you still reach the stars or whatever it is, right? Like, you set the bar high enough, even missing that bar is still an achievement, because if you get the closest you get to it is still pretty good. And I like that it doesn't condescend. I like that it doesn't dumb the stuff down. It simplifies it. Don't get me wrong. It starts out very simple, and the episodes are short, and they use repetition, like the one and the one will add, and then they'll break apart again to play tennis, you know, and stuff like that. And then they'll add again, and so that you get that repetition. But repetition is necessary for education. That's not dumbing it down. Mm-hmm. It's simplified, but it also says you can learn this.
Yeah.
And I like that a lot.
I'm having a bit of
existential crisis.
We've been having existential crisis. I wonder how many lessons that they tried to teach me in shows or at school, but it was couched in such a way, and it's like, oh, the silly bear doesn't want to wash his hands. And I'm like, well, screw this. Like, I'm not paying attention to this.
Yeah.
And, like, I probably did need to get to the end of that where I learned that, I don't know.
Washing your hands kills germs.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, it was just like, well, the silly bear wants to go outside. I'm like, get out of here. Like,
get out of here with that. Kids know when they're being talked down to. And I swear they do. I was rebellious no matter what as a child, so I don't know. I highly recommend both shows. Like I said, I think the only nitpick I would have about Puffin Rock was that Mossy gets to be a little bit of that kind of, quote, fat character stereotype, but they explain it as he needs to eat. He hibernates. This is
And he's a shrew.
And he's a shrew. Like, animals, they mostly have two or three urges at any given time, and one of them is to eat because they survive. That's what they do. So I like these shows a lot, and I don't really have any complaints. And visually, Puffin Rock is amazing. And you can Google a picture of Puffin Island, and it's quite similar. So they did a good job of representing it. Number Blocks is interestingly, like, it's an interesting visual in its own way. And I was quite surprised that it existed, if that makes sense, because it's just a show with 3 to 5 minute episodes about counting. And I was like, but I like it. I think that for what it does... Yeah. It does it well, and it is, I'm going to say it's one of those shows on the Daniel Tiger side of the spectrum in that it's intended to teach.
Yes. Every episode is about...
education.
A lesson.
Yes. Explicitly so.
Yes. There is a greater than, less than episode. There is, this episode is about the number 7.
Yes.
And it'll be a little rainbow.
But we do need to start working in 4 dimensions with quadrants and stuff, because while it is on the Daniel Tiger spectrum of, like, on the side of the spectrum of, like, it teaches a lesson every time, it's also good. Whereas I don't like Daniel Tiger. And so, like, if we had, like, a negative and a positive quadrant, it would be in the positive quadrant as opposed to Daniel Tiger, which is the negative quadrant.
You can be anywhere on the spectrum, and then we can rate you 1 out of 10.
Exactly. So Daniel Tiger is on the right side of the x-axis, but in the negative side of the y-axis, and Number Blocks is in the positive side of the y-axis. So, you know, it's there. And then Puffin Rock, like I said, is towards Daniel Tiger because it does have lessons. But it not always. Like, I don't think that that's a given, right? They learn about sharing. They learn about littering. They learn about being safe in a snowstorm and, you know, minding your parents. But they don't always have to tell a grown-up. They are independent characters, which is, I think, what your problem was with Daniel Tiger.
Yes.
They show that preschoolers can't really be independent of the adults in their lives, that they have to rely on them for everything.
Like, regardless of situation. There, in the Daniel Tiger universe, there is nothing you can do yourself.
Right. You know, he zips his own jacket, good for him, and then it's like back to
parents. And yeah, and then...
You need your parents for everything. But for this, like, the kids, they go out, they explore, they have the trust of their parents to know what to do, and that's a good thing as well. But not every episode, like, the episode with the frog is just like, hey, let's take this frog home.
Yeah.
And it's not like, need to be home.
Yeah, the lesson is really cute song, I like a lot.
Yeah, exactly. And I've been dying to sing it this whole time. And as soon as the mic goes off, I will, because I don't want to subject anyone to my voice. That's something. We have to talk about Elmo's World at some point.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Ari likes Elmo's World, but now Warren likes Elmo's World, and he even says Elmo. But the one thing I will say is that Elmo has moved into the 21st century, and he now has a smartphone friend named Smarty who Googles stuff for him. And one episode is about singing, and Smarty's like, this is what singing is, and here's singing from other countries. And then she finishes by saying, and the best part is, anyone can sing. And I was like, no, Smarty, no, they can't. I am living proof of that. You shouldn't have said that, Smarty, because you are setting yourself up for some major disappointment there. But yeah, so we'll talk about Elmo's World at some point. I think there should be an Elmo's World episode.
I think so, too.
We have to talk about the wide world of noodles. So the what is Mr. Rogers' neighborhood is called? It's called the land of make-believe?
The neighborhood of make-believe.
So we have the neighborhood of make-believe, and then we have
the Elmo's neighborhood of noodles.
Neighborhood of noodles. The neighborhood of Mr. Noodles. So yeah, I don't think we have anything else to say. We've got our full episode length here. I just want to do a couple quick clarifications. In the last episode, Alan made it very clear that you should not get a blue healer unless you have a job for that blue healer. But at one point he says, don't get a blue healer unless you have a job. While I do believe employed people can take good care of animals, he was talking about a job for the dog.
Oh yeah. I think I've...
said it many, many times, and I'm sure I don't want to insult anybody's intelligence.
I might have gotten a little bit cut off. I don't think so.
I think I cut you off a little bit.
But
he meant a job for the dog, and he was just
I don't mean money or employment. Right. I just mean exercise.
Yes. So the other thing is, I sorely regret that when I said that Bingo has a name, I didn't say Bingo has a name. Oh, and I'm sorry. I'm very sorry that I didn't take that off.
Oh, jeez.
That's like when Adele. What was the episode I did? Adele has that the Kung Fu Panda. They were known as the Fantastics, or what were they called?
I don't know.
The Furious Five, right? Okay. And there was this time when they were angry, and so Adele was like, and the Furious Five were very upset, and like they purposely
That's funnier.
Did, yes,
That's funnier.
They purposely, no, not purposely. They didn't realize that they'd missed that opportunity. I had to tell them later.
Yeah.
But the fact that they didn't was funnier. So, but I feel like I could have had that opportunity to say Bingo was her name. Oh, you know, but I didn't.
No.
But just know I thought about it. And now I'm sad.
No, I think we're better without it.
Yeah. So anyway, when you get a working dog, make sure you give the dog a job.
Yes.
And
even if the dog is destroying frisbees.
Yeah.
They need a job. They like
herding socks, whatever it may be. Unless they're scared of sheep, in which case you adopt them.
You
and
still
you
need to
cuddle them.
Yeah.
And,
you still know, need to
give them exercise. Yes. There are certain.
They'll vibrate into the next dimension.
Yeah. There are certain dogs that need a lot.
Yeah.
We're not exactly dog experts by any means, but you know, you can certainly go to Can I Pet Your Dog if you want a podcast all about dogs, dog breeds, dog facts, and just wanting to pet dogs. That is a great podcast. I love it. And yeah. Go watch Puffin Rock and I don't know, maybe Number Blocks.
Number Blocks. I mean, if you're listening to the show and you don't have any kids and you want to brush up on your very basic math, like, it's not a bad show.
Or if you just want to, if you for some reason crave existential dread, Number Blocks will do that for you. And I'm not here to judge
just
if that's what you
need. Eat a couple brownies and space out.
I'm not encouraging anybody to eat brownies because that's illegal in some states still. And also it freaks me out to even think about. But if that's your thing, Number Blocks might be an alternative to SpongeBob is all I'm saying.
Yes.
Anyway.
And chocolate is...
Delicious.
Delicious.
I've made my feelings about drugs known in the Cars episode, I think.
Okay.
Oh, the Cars episode and the Secret Life of Pets episode. I don't like either one.
Yeah. 21 plus.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for existing. Thank you for helping us to maintain our marbles for just one more week, even though our marbles weren't too rattled this time because we like these shows. But we will come back next time. I mean, we got so many ideas. I'd like to get to the Cars universe one. We'll see. We also want to talk about Gumby. I want to do at least a couple retrospectives on shows that we liked as kids. I just thought about Hey Arnold today because I saw a GIF and I just like every now and then I have to sit down and accept the fact that in the universe of Hey Arnold, they were aware that his head was a weird cartoon shape. And then I feel existential dread.
Save it.
So yes. So there's shows that we watched as kids that I want to talk about. So I kind of want to do this episode on Gumby where we like watch some Gumby and then record our thoughts as we're watching it, but for just for a couple minutes, and then we get into talking about it. So who knows what we're going to do next week? I've wasted enough of your time. Our commentary track about Frozen 2, and by our, I mean mine, Martin's, and Adele's, is available on Patreon and Buy Me a Coffee if you want to become a Buy Me a Coffee member. Patreon and Buy Me a Coffee have very separate perks available, so it depends which one you like, but it is available to all tiers of our Patreon, and you can laugh along. And the reason Alan wasn't there was because he was watching the kids while I recorded.
Also, I barely remember Frozen 2.
Yeah, I don't think Alan really cared to be on that track.
I like the salamander.
Yeah, I had very strong feelings. So, yeah, we have support sites. We, of course, appreciate 5-star ratings and reviews. And we will see you next week. Until then, I'm Rebecca.
I'm Alan.
Bye, friends.
Bye.